Please be seated. Good morning. During the second year of seminary, we got invited to participate in an internship program for 2 weeks in Atlanta. And what we would do is we would go and we would live in the homes of members of St. Luke's Episcopal Church, which is a large Episcopal church in downtown Atlanta. We would work in their soup kitchen and homeless shelter. And then we would also get a chance to meet with a number of civic leaders and other people in the community to talk about homelessness and race and all kinds of different things. And part of the experience meant going to Ebenezer Baptist Church, which is the church that Martin Luther King was pastor of, and his father before that had been pastor of, and where his some of his family members had been shot at one point. And it was quite an experience to go to worship there. It was a pretty simple little church. And at the time, they were building a new sanctuary, and they were going to make the one that had been there sort of a historic landmark. But church was a little different. And I've kind of spoken about this before. We showed up on time, and it took a while to get going. And the service was 3.5 hours long, and there were 3 preachers, each of whom preached a sermon and a number of altar calls. The experience, in addition to being that, was the sense of faith and aliveness, but also coupled with the afternoon spent at the museum and also in the History Learning Center and walking and learning more of everything that had happened and more of the story. On, I think it was Thursday, was the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech, and some of you, I'm sure, caught different pieces of it on, if you listen to the radio or watch TV, it was in those places, or you might have heard church bells ringing around 3 o'clock or so to remember that particular speech. Whenever I hear this particular gospel, I think of that moment in our society when places to sit were more defined than maybe they are now. But I want you to think about some stuff for a minute. Jesus is there, and he's teaching his disciples. And he's saying something sort of radical at the moment. In the society that Jesus lived in, rank and position was critical. And it would have been understood without name places or even being spoken out loud. In all likelihood, you would have been born to a household that would have determined your status in society. And if you walked about the society, often your clothing or the way that you dressed might tell you of or tell the people where you were. And so when he talks of a banquet, and he says, when you're invited to the banquet, sit at the lowest place, don't assume your spot in society, he's not talking about a wedding dinner like what we think of. You know what I'm talking about? Where you go and there's nameplates, it tells you exactly where to sit, and the bride has really stressed out about who to sit next to who. It's not that kind of status, okay? It's not whether you get along with Cousin Joe or not. It was that if you were of a particular stature, you had a right in the society to sit in particular places. And Jesus says, it doesn't really matter. If you go in, you should assume the lowest place, always. You should assume a place of humbleness, a place that does not exalt yourself. But he says that for a particular reason. It's how he understands God's kingdom. And that is that human understanding, human need for status, human need to say, I'm better and you're not, has no place in God's kingdom. And he says, if you are to be my follower, assume the lowest place, and then you might get invited up by the host. Of course, the host he's talking about is God. And I think sometimes it's a real difficult thing for us to assume. You know, when we go to concerts or we go to places, if you ever get the nosebleed tickets, do you brag about that? What about if you know the guy who knows the girl who knows the person that gets you the third row seats? You talk about that, don't you? It's a badge of honor. Don't worry, I've done it. Or at times when we might get close to someone famous, or we might be at the right dinner, or we might be invited to the right place. Think back about what Martin Luther King was talking about in the I Have a Dream speech. And I remember one particular part of that speech when he talks about a day when his daughter might play with children of another race and it might not be all that big a deal. Do you remember that piece? And I remember a few years ago walking into a classroom and seeing my daughter and a number of other people of all kinds of different parts of the human rainbow playing together and no one thinking that anyone was different. And I thought for a minute, every once in a while, that dream is more real. That dream is more relevant. It isn't really Martin Luther King's dream as much as it's God's dream. When you take communion today, I want you to notice something. Everybody who comes up, if they put their hands out, will get bread, and if you want to, you'll get wine. Everybody who comes up. It doesn't really matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter your place in society. It doesn't matter your rank or your privilege. Just for that moment, we participate in God's kingdom. Now think about that for a minute. That's where theology and the gospel and what God is calling us to be all meet for just a second. You ever toured old churches? You ever been to Boston or some of the... I'm not going to talk about England because that's not going to fit right. But back east, where you go where the old churches were, back before tithing caught on and the middle class existed and things like that, people used to buy a pew or you'd buy a box. So one particular church a lot of people have toured is Christ Church in Boston. And if you go there, you walk in and there's boxes all over. And then there's a gallery and there's some seats on the edge. And if you walk around, it's kind of cool and quaint because you see, you know, this is so-and-so's pew, famous people that you read about in history, you know, back in the day, the founders of the country and different things. And if you were to show up on that Sunday, that family had a right to sit in that pew and nobody else could sit there. And what do you think might happen if you were to sit in the pew, like George Washington's pew or somebody like that, if you were to sit there and you weren't supposed to? Well, the ushers were a little more aggressive back then. And you would have been taken out of church. And often, the peanut gallery or something like that, that we might call it, the slaves might have sat up back here, others might have sat around, and you knew when you walked into the church your status. And so I often think that it wasn't that long ago that maybe this gospel wasn't quite understood in the way we might understand it today. But isn't there still that desire to place ourselves above others? Isn't there still in society that time when we want to be the better person? When we want to be in the higher stature? Where we want to have the closer seat? Where we want to push others behind us? I want to challenge you this week to look around and to think about it. You see, the second part of the gospel gets to that point. It says, when you throw a banquet, don't throw it so your friends, so you'll get invited to their party. Throw it for the people who can't throw a party. Did you catch that? Invite the poor, the lame, those who are cast out. I think sometimes this is one of the most challenging things to do, to really live the gospel. To be willing to take that kind of risk in our life. So maybe as you go about your week this week, pay attention. Pay attention to where people are seated. Pay attention to where you put yourself. And then think about how God loves you. How when you come to the table, you are embraced with open arms. And that everyone around you is embraced just the same. God loves each of us. God loves each of us. So maybe we can take a lower place. Maybe. Amen.